folks, welcome back to Indaba Africa. This is Chris once again. Hello, folks. It's Monday, March 29th, 2021. It's time for Indaba Africa News of the Day. Straight to the headlines. Thousands flee into Thailand after Myanmar's military conducts 3 airstrikes against its Karen population. South Africa's new lockdown restrictions dictate a COVID compliance officer at all venues. Alcohol sales are not limited yet. South Africa has plans to vaccinate 200,000 people a day beginning in May, nearly 6 months after vaccine first became available around the planet. At that rate, 200,000 South Africans per day, it would take only 295 days to vaccinate South Africa's 59.8 million residents. Bafana Bafana has once again embarrassed South Africa, this time failing to qualify for the Africa Cup of Nations after falling to Sudan embarrassingly 2-0. South Africa's national soccer side continues to be an embarrassment for all who follow the game. Namibia makes SIM card registration compulsory. Guinea will deactivate all SIM cards not registered beginning on the 2nd of May of this year. And Air Namibia's liquidation has been confirmed by Namibia's High Court. Meanwhile, in neighboring Botswana, Botswana has received 33,000 doses of COVID-19 vaccine. And big game hunting will resume in Botswana after a 10-year hiatus, a consequence of former President Ian Khama's environmentalism and conservationism, his effort to stamp out big game hunting. Most big game hunters disappeared from South Africa. Businesses that catered to them disappeared from, not South Africa, from Botswana over the past decade. Eric Masisi is allowing big game hunting to resume once more in Botswana. Zimbabwe's National Rugby Union seeks to reestablish the national side, the Sables, who've fallen on hard times. Lack of funding. If you remember when they tried to qualify for the Rugby World Cup for 2019, they were in Tunisia for a qualifying stage and had to sleep rough on the street after being tossed out of the hotel because the Zimbabwe Rugby Union had no money to pay for hotel bills. And callous environmentalists in Zimbabwe call for Zimbabwe to curb its carbon emissions as thousands of Zimbabweans starve to death during this pandemic. The focus of these wacko nut job environmentalists is to shut down Zimbabwe's little remaining industrial base so that people all simply die. Callous disregard for human life by these environmentalists. In Uganda, President Yoweri Museveni has gotten his first jab of a COVID vaccination. Kenya Airways is hampered by continued constraints on domestic flight operations, putting the airline in grave jeopardy. Calls for a government bailout are surfacing. 99-year-old Sarah Obama, the step-grandmother of former President Barack Hussein Obama, has passed away. She was at least 99 years of age. And in the Suez Canal, the Evergreen, the Evergreen was refloated and appeared to be turned in the correct direction, heading north and south briefly before high winds and tides apparently regrounded the ship. It's still blocking the canal. And President Joe Biden seeks more debt to bury America even further and turn our posterity into debt slaves to pay off the debt, that money he gives away. Southwest plans to buy 737 MAX 7 version, not the MAX 8. They have changed their order to shift 70 of their MAX 8 to the smaller 737 MAX 7. However, this is an affirmation of its commitment to Boeing, which has been its sole aircraft provider in its 50-year history of Southwest. Southwest famously flies one model, one airframe, the 737, on all its flights, and this has been a key component of the business's success. And in the not particularly useful news, Staples will laminate your COVID-19 vaccination for free. Well, thank you very much, Staples, for that. And those are the headlines from today, Monday, March 29, 2021. All right, folks, let's get right into it here. And we'll talk about what's happening in Myanmar, where the military junta that overthrew the government on the 1st of February continues with its brazen and shameless behavior, while the United Nations, the European Union, Beijing, and Washington all silently sit by and take no action against this rogue state. A series of airstrikes by Myanmar's military along the country's border raised concerns Monday that more villagers might flee to neighboring Thailand in large numbers, adding a new dimension to an already volatile crisis. The strikes in areas populated predominantly by the ethnic Karen people represent another escalation in the increasingly violent crackdown by Myanmar's junta on protest of its February 1st coup. On Saturday, more than 100 people were killed in and around demonstrations throughout the country, the bloodiest single day since the takeover. Myanmar aircraft carried out three strikes overnight Sunday, according to Dave Eubank, a member of Free Burma Rangers, a humanitarian relief agency that delivers medical and other assistance to villagers. The strikes severely injured one child but caused no apparent fatalities. Strikes over the weekend sent about 2,500 people into northern Thailand's Mae Hong Son province, according to the agency. One witness described a chaotic scene as he watched hundreds of people cross the river border Sunday into Mae Hong Son. There were many children and women. It seemed like they had basic supplies to sustain themselves, but I don't know how long they can last without help. Insane. What is happening in Myanmar, Burma, with the military out of control, killing protesters, and now it's sending airstrikes against the Karen minority on the border with Thailand. New lockdown restrictions are coming for South Africa, or changed, I should say, lockdown restrictions, including the requirement that venues have a COVID compliance officer. Alcohol is not banned for the moment, but the government is considering banning it over the Easter holiday in order to limit hospitalizations. Apparently, a few people unable to hold their drink means everyone must pay the price. Basic Education Minister Angie Motshekga published a new gazette that provides further clarity around the operating of schools, including extracurricular activities. The gazette states the following activities are permitted and may resume without any spectators, subject to compliance with hygiene and social distancing measures. School sport matches, physical education, extracurricular activities, inter-school, district, provincial, and national school sports tournaments. But you must have a single entrance, temperature screening, sanitization of hands, contact tracing of participants, and monitoring the number of people at the event to ensure guidelines are followed. So, you can have sports events for schools, but you have to be snitches. Contact tracing is snitching. If you don't have an illness, then there's no need to contact trace. Unless you're trying to trace the whereabouts of people. And for what purpose? South Africa plans to vaccinate 200,000 people daily against COVID-19, beginning in May. According to a report, more than 2,000 vaccination sites will be set up. The plan will be based on the arrival of the first batch of 2.8 million Johnson & Johnson doses at the end of April. The vaccination rollout has been slow, with only 231,000 people, mostly frontline health workers, inoculated so far. The vulnerable are left to die in South Africa while the health workers get inoculated. Government plans to vaccinate 40 million people, or two-thirds of the population, which would mean not the full 295 days, but approximately 200 days to vaccinate the population, slightly over 200 days. So over 6 months. South Africa's national soccer football side has once again embarrassed themselves and the country with their defeat to Sudan, which has only qualified for the Africa Cup of Nations three times in 23 attempts. And Bafana lost 2-0 to Sudan. South Africa suffered a major embarrassment on Sunday as a 2-0 defeat by Sudan in Khartoum saw the hosts clinch a place at the Africa Cup of Nations finals at the visitors' expense, with first-half goals from Safadine Maki and Mohamed Abdel Rahman. Sudan qualified for only the third time in 23 attempts, finishing second in Group C behind Ghana, who won 3-1 at home to Sao Tome at the same time. It was a major setback for South Africa, who needed at least a draw, but were defensively undone by the determined host. Namibia has made SIM card registration compulsory, forcing all Namibians to register their SIM cards with the government. Yet the latest country using the power of the government to track the private activities of citizens, ostensibly to control crime, but of course that's not the real purpose of it. This data has been misused, as we've seen in America, people violating the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act to spy on Americans, former administrations doing that. Right now, anyone can go into a shop, buy a SIM card, and commit a crime. We are moving towards what is happening in South Africa. One cannot just buy a SIM card. It must be registered, says technology czar, Minister of Information and Communication Technology, Peya Mushilenga. Anyone can go into a shop, buy a SIM card, commit a crime. Well, Peya, anyone can go into a shop, put things in her pocket, walk out as a shoplifter and commit a crime. Anyone can put cinder blocks in the road, stop a car, and steal a car in Namibia. That's a crime. Your logic doesn't make sense. People who buy a SIM card and don't register it, that means they're going to commit a crime? This logic is flawed, and this is what states have used to undermine civil liberties and rights for the past two decades, ever since 9/11. And it continues unabated, with Namibia becoming the latest casualty to civil liberty and freedom and privacy with a government overreach. Speaking of government overreach, Guinea will deactivate all SIM cards not registered with the government beginning the 2nd of May. Yet another state using draconian state surveillance to control its population. And Namibia's High Court has confirmed that Air Namibia will be liquidated, which we've known for some time now, but unions and members of SWAPO's government seek to stop this from happening. They want to prop up a failed carrier that's bankrupt by a state that has no money to prop up this failed airline. The liquidation of Namibia's national airline passed another milestone on Friday, with the High Court confirming the winding up of Air Namibia a month after a provisional order was issued for the airline to be wound up. Acting Judge Cobus Miller issued an order in which he confirmed the provisional order of 26 February for the winding up of Air Namibia after the Namibia Civil Aviation Authority filed documents at the Windhoek High Court in which it stated that it too wants the airline to be liquidated. The NCAA informed the court that Air Namibia owes it close to $81 million Namibian dollars in air traffic and navigational charges and interest on that debt. This comes on top of what it owes to a Belgian-based carrier and other bills that Air Namibia has. Meanwhile, Habarone, Botswana has received 33,000 doses of vaccine against the coronavirus. Botswana on Saturday received another batch of vaccines purchased by the government efforts to boost mass inoculations. The country's vice president, Slumber Tswana, received 30,600 doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine at Sir Seretse Khama International Airport in Habarone. These vaccines were procured through the World Health Organization's failing COVAX facility. The vaccines arrived on Saturday are set to undergo health tests before being authorized for use in the country. That's interesting, to say the least. And international big game hunting makes a return to Botswana after a 10-year hiatus. Former President Ian Khama, a staunch conservationist, had banned big game hunting in Botswana, which caused the collapse of many of the businesses that catered to big game hunters who came to Botswana. For a country that missed hunting like the deserts missed the rain over a six-year period, Botswana bounces back on the international hunting map in April 2021 to quench the international hunters' thirst in a country with the biggest, most stable, and fastest rising elephant population on Earth. Hunting season opens on April 6th and closes on September 21st, 2021. Botswana has enjoyed the interest and support of an international client base for many years. As a destination, Botswana still offers a wide variety of hunting habitats, including the Great Kalahari Sand Veld areas. There are professional operations along with a high caliber of professional hunters, which ensures that trophy quality has been consistently high, especially for elephant, said the Botswana Wildlife Producers Association spokesperson Debbie Peake. Recounting the cost of the ban to the hunting industry, Peake said that the hunting ban imposed by former President Ian Khama had forced more than 90% of Botswana-based hunting operators to quit operations in Botswana. Without a hunting quota in community areas and commercial concessions, many operators were forced to relocate to other African hunting countries such as Tanzania and Zambia. A smaller number retained low-scale business interest in Botswana, but game ranches continued to operate, offering quality plains game hunting. The loss of the elephant quota, along with other quota, was significant, so the industry is dedicated to building up operations and reestablishing themselves in the market. Yes, so big game hunting returns to Botswana beginning April 6th after a 10-year hiatus. In Zimbabwe, the Zimbabwe Rugby Union seeks to reestablish the largely defunct Sables national side now. Zimbabwe Rugby Union have urged local players to attend trials as they seek to rebuild a new Sables team. Players expect to be monitored by a technical team led by manager Jason Maritz. In a statement, ZRU said they are calling on all local players to converge at Hellenics Academy on the weekend of April 4th and 5th to try their luck on representing Zimbabwe. Another group has been invited for the trials on the 10th and 11th of April. The Sables are calling on all locally based club rugby players to come and have a shot at being a Sables player. All players wishing to attend the sessions must apply through their rugby club coaches, who will review and submit their player recommendations to the Sables managers. The trials will be held under strict COVID-19 guidelines, and a maximum of 50 people will be observed. Maritz has released a training squad for the upcoming camp to be held in Harare from May 16th to July 3rd. Provisional squad includes many players already from around the country. Environmentalists have taken Zimbabwe to task, telling it must reduce its carbon emissions. This, as the country's economic collapse is catastrophic, and people are starving and hungry, and their concern is carbon emissions. It shows you how little these people care about Homo sapiens and how much they care about a big ball rock spinning in orbit, the third rock from the sun. Care more about our planet than they do about Homo sapiens. Tragic and sad, but the truth. Zimbabwe needs to take practical steps to promote the adoption of carbon-cutting measures in all economic sectors to protect the environment, according to experts. environmentalists at a virtual forum on leveraging on regional expertise in demonstrating the economic benefits of renewable energy said that while Zimbabwe had adopted and signed a number of protocols on climate change, there was a need for a battery of measures to reduce carbon footprints in key sectors. Carbon emissions are still very high in tobacco production and at our coal-powered thermal power stations. Our agriculture and agro-processing sectors are still generating carbon emissions that are contributing to climate change, says Dr. Darlington Muzeza of the Grow a Tree Foundation. Dr. Muzeza, you are a callous person. You care none for Homo sapiens. There's no point in having any production facilities for tobacco if there are no Homo sapiens to process and smoke the tobacco. Wow. At a time like this, you're worried about carbon emissions. It shows you where the priorities are for these bizarre leftists. Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni got his first jab of the COVID vaccine. Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni and First Lady Janet on Saturday received their first dose of the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccines at State House in the Capitol. Wearing his military regalia, once again, Yoweri Museveni is making the point that he is the dictator of Uganda. I encourage all Ugandans who qualify for the vaccination to go to the health facilities and get it, said Museveni in a tweet. Ruth Aseng, Uganda's health minister, hailed the first family for being inoculated in the ongoing nationwide vaccination campaign exercise in the East African country. Kenya Airways is dealing with more constraints which are hampering its domestic operations and putting the carrier in jeopardy. Kenya Airways and its low-cost unit Jambojet will today suspend a string of domestic services following moves in the country to counter concerns over a third wave of the coronavirus. The move to suspend domestic flights allows a presidential order on March 26 to suspend all travel within five counties in the country, encompassing the two carriers' primary hub of Nairobi, from which they operate the vast majority of domestic flights. Kenya Airways is canceling its Nairobi services to Mombasa and Kisumu, while Jambojet will suspend flights from Nairobi to Mombasa, Kisumu, Eldoret, Malinda, and Diani from today. Turn domestic travel restrictions marks a further blow for the airline, having just disclosed the largest loss in its history. Kenyan moves to renationalize the carrier under a new holding group have faltered since being introduced last summer, are still to compete with legislative process. While Kenya Airways Chief Executive Alan Kilavuka was quoted in local media saying the airline requires a $500 million U.S. bailout from the government to survive. So restrictions on Kenyan Airways are having a major impact on its operations, and the government wants to renationalize and take over the failing carrier. Well, this is unfortunate. Kenya Airways had made great strides across the continent, increasing its route network, and had produced years of profitability as a private carrier. Yet failed leftists want to once again take over the means of production to assuage your egos, I suppose. That's what it's all about. It's certainly not about economic activity and well-being. Sarah Obama, the 99-year-old step-grandmother of Barack Hussein Obama, has passed away in Kenya. Out of the Suez Canal, folks, once again, the ever-given. This situation is bizarre. What's happening here? The ship apparently was refloated, and it had been turned correctly in the right direction. Here, as you see from these photographs. But apparently, high winds and the tide in this narrow canal has a tide. The tide have pushed it on the ground once again. It has run aground again. So the canal remains blocked by the ever given. And Joe Biden. President Joe Biden intends to spend even more money that the U.S. government does not have with another round of relief for Americans. Well, targeted for certain Americans. Biden to push another coronavirus recovery bill on top of the $1.9 trillion package, according to Jen Psaki. President Biden will have more to say in April about his coronavirus recovery plan focused on issues like healthcare and women leaving the workforce after pushing a $1.9 trillion package earlier this month. He's going to have more to say later in April about the second part of his recovery plan, which will include a number of pieces you talked about, healthcare, childcare, and addressing that. It's a crisis now. The number of women who've left the workplace, the total package, we're still working it out. Meanwhile, Southwest Airlines has decided to shift some of its orders for the 737 MAX 8 to the 737 MAX 7. It'll convert firm orders for 70 Boeing 737 MAX 8 planes to the smaller model. The first 30 MAX 7 jets are scheduled to be delivered to Southwest next year. It's a slower selling compared to the more popular MAX 8 jets. Southwest on Monday said it agreed to buy 100 Boeing 737 MAX 7 planes as it plans to retire older jets, sticking with the manufacturer that has been the backbone of its fleet for 50 years. The Dallas-based low-cost airline said the agreement it would convert 70 of its orders for MAX 8 planes to the smallest jets, the MAX 7. Also add 155 options for 737 MAX 7 or MAX 8 through 2029. Southwest, which operates an all-Boeing 737 fleet, said its order is a vote of confidence in the planes. U.S. regulators recently lifted a 20-month grounding of the 737 MAX back in November. A flight ban that was put in place after two crashes over less than 5 months killed 346 people. The MAX 7 planes have a list price of $99.7 million each, but airlines usually get big discounts for large orders, particularly in the market devastated by coronavirus. Southwest will configure the 737 MAX with 150 seats compared to the older model it's replacing, which has 143 seats. The 737 MAX 8s have 175 seats. Well, looks like we'll be jammed in even tighter like cattle on Southwest flights. Staples and Office Depot will laminate your COVID-19 vaccination for free. Thank you. In useless news, Staples and Office Depot are helping you prove your COVID-19 vaccination as part of the whole compliance. Both companies are offering to laminate your COVID-19 vaccination card for free. Millions of Americans who've been vaccinated carrying around paper cards as their only proof. Well, thank you, Staples and Office Depot. Folks, that's the news for today, March 29th, 2021. Thank you for your time, your patronage here at Indaba Africa. Indaba Africa News of the Day, 29 March, 2021. Take care, folks.